Merry Christmas, good news. If you're here this tonight and you are visiting for the first time, I just wanted to greet you. Thank you for being with us at our Christmas Eve services. Welcome. My name is Mario Vallela. I am, that's great. Clap for whatever my name. I am a pastor here, and I hope that the songs that you've just sung and the videos and the words that I'm about to say are good for you. For those of you who are regulars, we're going to finish up our series called Christmas As that we've been in for the past few weeks. And if you haven't been here, we've been doing Christmas As fill in the blank. And we've been filling in the blank with different angles by which you can talk about Christmas. And so we did Christmas As history, and we talked about Christmas being like, the Christmas story is something that happened in reality, in history, and ancient historians documented it. We talked about Christmas as fulfilled prophecy, and the things that happened during the life of Jesus Christ are things that are the completion of words that were spoken and written hundreds of years before. And then we talked about Christmas as revelation, that even though no one has seen God, God has been revealed to us in Jesus. And tonight is Christmas as redemption. And so in order to talk about Christmas as redemption, I would like to begin by explaining what it means to redeem someone. Because the way that the Bible uses the word redeem at times, I think, is something that we are not familiar with as a culture. I don't think we do a whole lot of redeeming, and we don't do redemption like they did back then, I don't think. And so I want to explain what it means to be redeemed. And in order to do that, I want to read to you from the book of Leviticus. All right? Leviticus is not often read at Christmas Eve services. So consider yourself in for a special treat. Leviticus chapter 25, verse 47 says this: If a foreigner or temporary resident living among you prospers, but your brother living near him becomes destitute and sells himself to the foreigner living among you, or to the member of the foreigner's clan, he has the right of redemption. That's the word we're talking about, right? He has the right of redemption after he has been sold. One of his brothers may redeem him. His uncle or cousin may redeem him. Or any of his close relatives from his clan may redeem him. If he prospers, he may redeem himself. Not a lot of people sit around the Christmas tree and read that. But what I want you to get is that redemption in their culture, specifically in these verses, was something that could happen if you had someone that was in your country, and this specifically was within Israel, that there was a foreigner who had done very well financially. And meanwhile, a family member of yours, your brother, your cousin, your nephew, is doing very poorly. And in fact, gets themselves into a financial situation that's so bad that they sell themselves into slavery. And let's say you, as the family member, you hear about it. You find out that's what's happened. That your nephew, your cousin, your uncle, your brother has now sold themselves into slavery and is owned by somebody else. What this passage is saying is what you can do is you can redeem them. You might, as you go through the Old Testament, maybe we'd even see hints of this where it's not only can you redeem him, but if you have the money, you should redeem him. And so here's this person who's destitute and they've sold themselves into slavery. And if you have the money, what you're supposed to do is redeem him. And the rest of that passage that I didn't read, but the words that come after it, talk about how to calculate the price. And so what you do is you go and there's your brother. There's your nephew who's gotten into the situation. And what does it mean to redeem him? It means to buy them. Give the money to the person that they sold themselves to, buy them back, and get them back into the freedom of the family again. Restore wholeness to the family by purchasing them and getting them back where they were before. I believe that Jesus does that for us. That he paid a price to buy us out of slavery and into his family. And that we were spiritually destitute, morally destitute, and needed a loving older brother to rescue us from the situation we got ourselves in. And you can see hints of that in the New Testament, maybe stronger than hints. You can see places where the implications of this are in multiple places in the New Testament, that this is what Jesus has done for us. I'm going to show you a few of them. Look at Mark 10, verse 45. This is actually a place where Jesus is speaking, and he talks about what he came for. Jesus says in Mark 10, 45, "For even the Son of Man," that was a term he used sometimes to describe himself, "For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a, what's the word? A ransom for many. Now that's interesting, because that's a different English word, but it's the same concept, right? He came to give his life as a ransom. Ransom is very similar to redemption price in the sense that it is a word that means a price that is paid to buy a person. And in fact, for us in our culture, ransom is probably the better word because we're more familiar with that. We don't go around doing a lot of redeeming, but you know what the word ransom means. You knew that before you came in here, didn't you? Right? Because you watch movies. And we've seen so many movies and TV shows where there's that scene that that rich person or the politician, whoever it is, they get their daughter kidnapped or their son is kidnapped. And then the very next scene, the phone rings, right? And it's the kidnapper on the phone, always speaking through voice distortion software. And they always say the same thing, right? They put $1 million in a duffel bag, leave it under the bridge on 7th Street, or you'll never see your daughter again, right? And you pay us this money and then we'll give you your son back. You've seen those scenes over and over again, right? And so it's the same thing here. Jesus is saying, I came to give my life as a price paid to buy some people. You see this again in 1 Corinthians. It's all over the place. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Paul is talking here and he brings it up. And this verse I'm going to read to you is a very famous verse, but I'm really not referring to the famous part. I'm going to refer to the part that's not as famous. But 1 Corinthians 6, verse 19 says, this is a verse, people who love health food love this Bible verse. 1 Corinthians 6, 19 says, don't you know that your body is a sanctuary of the Holy Spirit who is in you? Have you heard that right? Your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. Someone does that and try to convince you to eat granola. Okay, so let me read the whole verse though. Don't you know that your body is a sanctuary of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God? You are not your own, for you were, what's the word? Bought. Whoa. You were bought at a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body. The reason that Paul was giving to these early Christians as to why it matters what they do with their body is because you were bought. Who bought you? Jesus. Then you go to Galatians chapter 3, and you'll see it again. In this case, we'll actually see the word redeemed. It's right there. Galatians chapter 3, verse 13. It says, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us, because it is written, everyone who is hung on a tree is cursed. What's he saying here? He's saying Christ has, and that word redeemed, you know what it means now, right? He has purchased us. He has bought us back. Okay, he has bought us back from what? According to this verse, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. What is the curse of the law? That is, if you do wrong things, you deserve to be punished for them. That's what the curse of the law. Law is, this is right, this is wrong, do this, don't do this. God has laws, there are rules, there is morality in this world. And if you don't do what you're supposed to do, there is a curse that comes with that. There is a punishment. There is a judgment that we deserve. And it says here that Christ has redeemed us from that judgment. By what? By becoming a curse for us. He took it on himself. Because it is written, everyone who is hung on a tree is cursed. His death on the cross was taking our judgment in our place. And then same next chapter, same exact book, same exact page. Like I'm just right here and now I'm going right over to here. Galatians chapter 4, verse 4 says, when the time came to completion, God sent his son, born of a woman. By the way, that's Christmas. That woman's name was Mary. God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law. Why? To redeem those under the law so that we might receive adoption as sons. The passage says God sent his son. That's what we celebrate at Christmas time. He was born of a woman. That's what we talk about at Christmas time. He was born of a woman. He was an actual human being. Yes, divine, but a human being. And it says he was born under the law. What does that mean to be born under the law? I think it means to be accountable to the law. He was born under the law. He was born accountable to obey what God had said. He was accountable to obey the moral law. He was a Jewish man in Israel. He was accountable to obey everything in the Old Testament. And Jesus obeyed God perfectly. He was born under the law to redeem, to buy back those under the law. What does redeem mean? We now know what that means. It's turning slaves into non-slaves. And in fact, the passage goes farther than turning slaves into non-slaves, because look at the next part. To redeem those under the law so that we might receive adoption as sons. That Jesus came not just to turn slaves into non-slaves, to turn slaves into sons. And he's here referring to adoption. And I think that Roman adoption, at least in its emphasis, was a little bit different than it was in our culture. I think the emphasis here has to do with something that's maybe not what we think of when we think of adoption. In our culture, when we think of adoption, almost exclusively, we do adoption for one reason, and it's childcare. That's what adoption is, I think, probably 99% of the time in our culture. Childcare, that is, there is a kid. They don't have a mom or dad. Someone adopts them to care for them as they grow up until they become an adult. Okay? I'm assuming that probably happened in the Roman Empire as well, but I think that for in some cases, what was adoption was for them was not so much childcare, but it was about inheritance. Who's going to get the stuff? Who do I pass the family business down to? Who's gonna be in charge of this estate when I'm gone? Where's the family wealth gonna go? And if there was a man in the Roman Empire who did not have a son and he was starting to get old, it was okay. Well, this needs to go somewhere. The legacy needs to go somewhere. The riches need to go somewhere. The family business needs to go to someone. If I don't have a son, then what would you do? You could adopt. I've looked in this, and you can Google around if you want, but it seems to me I've noticed multiple places that talk about that in the Roman Empire, as an adult, you could adopt another adult. Yeah, an older adult could adopt a younger adult because the point was not always childcare. The point was the inheritance. And that seems to be the emphasis of this passage, because one verse later, it says this, "So you are no longer a slave, but a son, and if a son, then a what? An heir through God." So I believe that without Jesus, we are enslaved. We are enslaved to sin. We are enslaved to the law. And by enslaved to the law, I mean enslaved to the law is what I think that's how the Bible phrases it. I believe that's the idea of obey all of the rules or be cursed. And that is how it works. Obey all the rules or be cursed. That's being a slave to the law. And Jesus redeems us from that and then makes it to where we can have an inheritance from God. Not just out of slavery and into poverty, but out of slavery and into the inheritance of God. And I believe that inheritance is living with God forever amongst his riches as his children. And so when you think of these two things, when you think of the slavery of the consequences of sin and the inheritance of God, his pleasure, his kingdom, his blessings, the slavery of the consequences of sin and the inheritance of God, we have earned one of those two things and not the other. And Jesus earned one of those two things and not the other. And so at the first Christmas, Jesus was sent from heaven, born of a woman, born into humanity, accountable to God's laws, and he earned human righteousness. And he took what he earned, and he sacrificed it. He put himself in the duffel bag under the bridge to buy us back, to redeem us, to, as a fellow family member of the human race, free his brothers and sisters. I believe that's the plan that was unfolding when Mary placed Jesus in a manger. That's Christmas as redemption. And that is good news for sinners. Just close by saying, be sure to be someone who believes in him. Salvation is available for all who believe. And so be someone who sees their slavery for what it is and hates it. And then turn to your rescuer with loyalty forever. Merry Christmas. Let's pray. God, thank you. Thank you that you would come yourself into our world. Jesus, thank you that you would come and step into our world, born of a woman, and obey the law on our behalf, and give yourself for us. Thinking of you giving you as the ransom, as the payment, to get us out of a slavery that we got ourselves into and to get us back into your family. Thank you. I don't even know what those Israelites would say when their brother or their cousin showed up and they got him out of a jam. But I thank you that you would save us from the consequences of our sin. I pray that those of us here who don't know you, that they would come to know you even tonight. And for those of us in this room that do know you, that we would be wowed again by the thought that you would say, I'll pay me and I'll get them back. They'll be free again. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.